Not so much at you. I mean, yesterday was enough for you. We'll see if any good comes of that. By the way you call tonight. Have you got some new lights in here? Anybody in engineering know they put new spots in here? They all don't know how to talk? Who's shading back there? Tell him to quit making me look like an angel. Or Moses just down from the mountain. I don't want anybody to get the impression of perfection out of me. I've been thinking since last night, and I want to carefully try to avoid the same broad brush for the media that I react to when they put me in the pot with TV evangelists. In fact, I think I may come up with some kind of reverse cuss you university degree to give to the few old-fashioned journalists that are that, old-fashioned journalists. There are a few. In fact, I'm frustrated because I had two articles I was going to bring and read you tonight from journalists that can be respected. One in Dallas who refused to write an article and get on the bandwagon of the Jim Baker routine. And one here local. There are some exceptions. But absolute power corrupts absolutely. And if those few exceptions in the media do not begin to scream as I am, and I guess I have to make some exceptions because I'm media too. But unless some of us begin to scream, I can tell you, in terms of the signs of the times, Antichrist cannot come to power until the media loses its freedom too. Antichrist, you better believe, will have a controlled press. Now, for many years, I've been as quick to defend the First Amendment rights for the press, for assembly, for any one of those First Amendment expressions that are protected as the religious one. The media in general has not been as ready to recognize that they are cognate rights. Every major Supreme Court case involving First Amendment freedoms will take decisions regarding one of those freedoms and apply them by analogy to any one of the others, because they are cognate rights. What affects one affects all. Now, there is no question that anyone with any sense could have seen what was coming with the TV evangelists. I saw it. And I prophesied it a long time ago, and that's why I separated myself from them. And a lot of people did not understand my dedicated effort to totally separate this church and my ministry from any of the other television evangelists. A lot of people didn't understand my absolute refusal, other than Channel 30 locally, to go on any religious television station. I didn't want to be on the same Tower of Babel with the rest of them. And I could not do anything about what went before and what went after. If it was therefore I got there, but once I contracted with the station, a condition was that no religious television evangelist would be on either side of me. A lot of people don't understand that. They understand it now. But I am telling you that what you are seeing with the press now is the giddy spiral of unchecked power that will reach a crescendo of such a state that there will come a backlash. Government will not allow itself forever to be abused by the press. There is not a congressman anywhere in our national or state legislatures, congressman or state legislature, that doesn't quiver a little of what happened to Hart. And the rationale of the press, the times have changed, that they have a right now. We're no longer in the heyday of open marriage and the sexual revolution. Well, the press didn't return us to monogamy. AIDS did. And their rationales for the invasions of privacy. Government will not put up with it forever. There are a few judges that tremble. There are not many powerful men in this world that don't have a skirt hidden in a closet somewhere. Not for drag purposes either. And what I see is a crescendo of power that will continue to be abused until it creates the scenario of backlash. And they will, by their abuse of power, destroy their power. The press will ultimately get checked if it continues its unchecked oligarchy over the minds of America. They will allow no heroes other than themselves. They will allow respect for no one but themselves. Everyone is on the defensive, and when you attempt to put them on the defensive, they run behind the First Amendment and beat a drum. They won't allow churchmen to run behind the First Amendment and beat a drum. And the very axe that they're wielding will one day be turned on them, because news today is through a vehicle of public trust. Newspapers were the product, at least in the early days, of capitalistic enterprise. But the news that dominates the mind of America is the limited access, public trust, airways that belong to the public. And since they have set themselves up as the judges and evaluators, somewhere the public's going to wake up and say what they have already said to the churches. And thanks to the press, the cognate cases are there. Because it has already been said to the churches. That's what was said to Faith Center, that a television license is voluntarily sought. And therefore, when you voluntarily pursue this television license, you step out from underneath voluntarily, by implication, the protection of the First Amendment. We wouldn't accept that and gave up television licenses before we would forego the right to protect the privacy of our donors, which is a sacred religious expression. And Matthew 6 says, give in secret that your heavenly Father might reward you in secret. There is no religious expression any more indigenous to religion than worship. And worship, as you've heard me say probably 10,000 times, is a contraction of two English words, worship. And if the expression of worship, giving as a testimonial of value to God and His Word, as the woman with the alabaster box did, if that expression of religious worship, which is commanded to be in secret in Matthew 6, can be breached by government agencies on the ground that seeking to worship via television moves you out from underneath if you have sought an ownership of a license. All the press has to do is abuse the public a little more for the Supreme Court to say, based upon the cases already on the record, television news is an expression of the licensee who holds a public trust. And when you step voluntarily into that arena, you step out from underneath the First Amendment. Well, the press would scream, impossible. I agree. Today, the press is the darling of the five things allowed by the First Amendment, because their power is such that they can sell that, and they don't work as hard to sell the other four rights. But as they continue to abuse, what I'm saying is, 30 years ago, no one would have dreamed that a court would say, your donation records to God in their privacy cannot be protected. And the argument of the government was that the best probative evidence as to whether or not you are being defrauded on the compelling interest of government to avoid fraud is to have your name and address and what you gave, so government agents can come and ask you if you really knew what you were given for and if you are sure that what you were giving for was done. Is that what you want in your religious worship? Big Brother maximized. Now, one of the articles I was going to read to you tonight points out if what goes on in a candidate's bedroom isn't private, and if now, as one press agency has done, they have mailed a questionnaire to all the candidates asking, have you ever committed adultery? Now, if the public has a right to know that about its candidates, we have a right to know their lifetime credit records. We have a right to know their psychological testing records. We have a right to query their medical doctors. I mean, why don't we just go to Nazi Germany programming? Except for those fine exceptions that I want to be careful to point out on occasions and not say all media are like this, but the general tendency of media is to be glutted with their power. They have no one to check them now. They're above everybody. the presuppositions came out, they ran into the only checking that I have seen is they pushed their thirst for superiority a little too far when the president spoke, and one of the networks then had a Russian government officials give the other side, because they happen to have a crew in Moscow. I mean, suddenly they lifted themselves above the nations in their arbitrary or arbitrator role. Now we, the American public, if we hear a speech by our president, we're not now going to be given an alternative view by a spokesman of another party, or given an analysis by some professors at various universities in America. Now the optimum two sides of everything is to balance our president's speech with a flash by satellite to an official Russian representative. And by that nifty little trick, the press, as host and manager, has elevated itself above both nations. Once they rule the world, they will pray for someone in a UFO to land so they can set up some kind of broadcast unit on some other planet so that they can give us both sides, Earth's view and this planet's view, and they're above that. Ultimately, if they could believe in him, they would love to host in a split screen God and the devil so they can evaluate him. But my PhD required me in one of the graduate classes, as Larry Thomas was teaching us, to philosophize, not just the fruits of philosophizing, but the function. For 3.5 years, we had a continuing, never-stopping task that came out of one class. We were forced to analyze the frame of reference, the presupposition, the things taken for granted, the necessary precondition for an act to happen or a statement to be made. And the presupposition of the press is they're above everyone. They are charged up with the necessity and the rationale to evaluate everything for our benefit. They evaluate it their way, and the benefit is ratings. What they did to balance the president with a Russian voice proved the networks would sell this nation out for the ratings. Now the media during the war, in the name of free speech and free press, were publishing the sailing schedules of all ships. That's one of the exceptions. The freedom of the press. That was still during the days when the Supreme Court's test of invasion of a First Amendment right was not just a compelling state interest, but a clear and present danger to the existence of the nation. All the U-boat captains had to do was have transcribed to them the daily newspaper published shipping lists. And they parked their U-boats and bam, bam. It went to the Supreme Court, which means the press were arguing for the right. If they'd had any brains, they would have stopped themselves. They would have stopped publishing it. But in their drunken thirst for absolute power, they laid down a cognate Supreme Court decision where there was obviously a clear danger to the Union of the publishing of these sailing lists, and it was a present danger, because ships got torpedoed every day. And because of the clear and present danger, tests being met, they were prohibited from any more publishing, an encroachment on the First Amendment. Now, I'm telling you, Antichrist can't come to power until the First Amendment of the United States in all respects is broken in any effectiveness. Now, we are watching that amendment be destroyed for churches. Now, what I am prophesying is the press is going to get worse. They're going to have to do the same thing. They're going to so overkill in their abuse of power that the backlash will be created to cut them down to size. Now, the prophecy of the Antichrist makes it inevitable. But if there's any sane people in the press, whether they believe in the Antichrist or not, history shows power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely, and there is nothing as powerful in this nation as the press. So the whole law of history says they're going to go too far. From my Christian frame, they will have to. Now, I'm in the business of trying to hold Antichrist back. So as one voice in the wilderness, I still believe lights can be turned on, and there are a few journalists that have enough character that they'll hear the truth, or see the truth, or be comforted by hearing another voice say what they know is true. And the all too few responsible ones will wake up and back off. But you don't have many responsible journalists in TV. TV journalists are the product of agents, Hollywood agents. They are not the product of schools of journalism. I mean, I would like to know how many of the nightly newscasters in America have a journalism degree. My guess is not very many. They're irresponsible. There's nothing more dangerous than power in the hands of an uneducated man or woman. And the media, by and large, represents a liberal point of view that simply cannot accept a faith in Jesus Christ. Way down deep, but really not, just under the skin. They really believe that all preachers are one of two kinds. Too stupid to know how stupid they are, thus to be tolerated by superior people in their need to have an expression out of their ignorance. They can sit and laugh at them. Their attitude is like that of the superior missionary who has no respect for the cultural religion of the natives that he meets, who tolerates their ignorance. Most of the religious television people that they will accept as sincere are people that they believe are too ignorant to know better. And they should be contained, but allowed to express their religion. They're obviously too ignorant to convert the world, so don't worry too much about them. This snide superiority of the intellectual media, that most religion is a solve for the ignorant and the have-nots. And if they encounter a man who is religious, particularly a religious leader who is intelligent, smart, he must be an Elmer Gantry. He must be phony. Because their frame of reference is fixed and unchanged. If you were intelligent, you would know there's no basis for this religious faith. Jesus Christ, Son of God, miracles of healing, resurrection. Intelligent people don't believe that. That's what Jesus Christ Supernatural was about when I preached on it. I just couldn't be allowed to have intellectual wings, academic respectability, until I got intelligent enough to recognize there was no basis, no intelligent basis for this Christian faith business, the primitive faith, to be sure. To have an experience like the apostles had on the day of Pentecost, to say what Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all, you got to be a weirdo, man, or a fake. So the successful people on television have to be phonies, in their view. That's why you're seeing this embittered attack. It's like a wolf shaking a bone. The Jimmy and Tammy Baker incident has become proof positive to them of what they knew all along is the case with all TV preachers. It isn't what Jim and Tammy Baker did that's so revealing. It's the passion that the press feels. I read the People magazine article. Makes me feel sorry for Jim and Tammy Baker. I mean, the way she looked in the garter belt, I mean, she should have worn a muumuu. To you that have seen it. But those people weren't evil. They're like most people. They were good sometimes, bad sometimes. The worst thing about Jim Baker is he's a coward. That God will have to help me ever forgive him for. But they're not as bad as the press is making them. They're not all bad. Neither were they all good. Jerry Falwell is certainly not as good as he would have us believe. And such a fool, you know. He fell for the bait of perfectionism instead of getting up the very first night on Nightline and giving Koppel the finger. And saying, we churchmen will handle this. And what'd he go there in the first place for? He likes to see his ugly face. But having made himself so perfect, you see it tonight, how the press is delighting? Falwell promised he would never get on the air and beg for money for PTL, but he's now breaking that pledge. Well, Paul said, you live by the law, you know, you gotta live all of it. I hate those television evangelists so much that if they're in heaven, I'll get thrown out after I get there for the first murder in heaven. I hate those television evangelists so bad for their stupidity. But neither can I sit silent while those that are not without sin continue to cast the stones with a vengeance. Perfectionism. And that's what we're studying in church history. Perfectionism somehow took over. Within 70 years, after the death of Christ, legalism was, well, within 7 weeks after the death of Christ, legalism took over because of the bunch that were ruling the church of Jerusalem. Within 70 years, the message of grace and peace and salvation by faith was gone. How did it happen? Well, just look around you in the modern world. They don't want the gospel. They want this damnable message of Satan that Adam and Eve swallowed hook, line, and sinker. They want man-made righteousness. And every generation has someone that's in a position where they can paint themselves over like a whited sepulcher and outwardly appear perfect to men, while inside they're full of all dead men's bones and uncleanness. But in that posture of false self-righteousness and in a position of power, they're constantly dumping on everyone else. Now, if you don't believe the prince of the power of the air rules, the TV evangelists were dumping on us all the time. Now, one of the TV evangelists got exposed. And the church, who's the best in the nation at shooting their own wounded, immediately began to kill him. And being crippled with the failure, the press now has become the super dumpster. We got to be dumped on with somebody, because that's Satan's message, to put mankind on the defensive, to put him down and walk on him with this perfectionist doctrine. Now here, the dumpsters were out there, and the liberal press was complaining. Now they caught a preacher with his pants down, and they've become the moralists. And they're placing a standard on this nation that would force us to have a burning of the Constitution. I mean, if the moral standards of the press are necessary to run this nation, we should start a nationwide movement to burn the Constitution every night, because that crowd that sat in that hall in Philadelphia wouldn't qualify. I can no longer stand in the Jefferson Memorial and read those grand words that he penned, because between my eyeballs and those grand words chipped in marble is Jefferson cavorting with his black slave. I mean, where is all this rhetoric of the news that bed partners and sex habits somehow affect your judgment and capacity to make a contribution to leadership in this nation? Are we going to excise from all books the words of Thomas Jefferson? Are we going to burn the Constitution? Because such words of judgment must be pregnant with error, and we've been blinded these however many years, 200 years. Because a man with such sperm on the brain could not possibly produce an immortal document of the nature of the Constitution. Must we begin to burn Jack Kennedy in effigy? What is this situation ethics that the press is putting on us now? The times have changed, so what Kennedy could get away with, presidents now can't. I mean, Kennedy could carry two choices around with him. On Air Force One, mind you, a taxpayer expense. But because times have changed, you can't be president now if such thoughts come into your mind. Now, we had one president, a Baptist president, the worst he ever did was admit to Playboy magazine that he looked with lust once in a while. try as I may, I cannot see where that purity made him in the same league with Jefferson or Jackson or Washington. Might not be a bad idea to get rid of some of the remnants of the New Deal. It got to be bad for America. An adulterer spawned them. Franklin Delano Roosevelt. I've written a play about him. I've made it my business to get acquainted with FDR. Moral purist he wasn't. Hell, have you ever looked at Eleanor Roosevelt's face close up? Give the man a break. Bad enough, be crippled. The press won't give anybody a break now. Maybe we should go back to Vietnam. Because Nixon got us out. I mean, anybody do the things wrong that Nixon did, anything that he did during his tenure must be bad. So let's sail into Vietnam tomorrow to undo the possibility of having been misled by Nixon. You don't think LBJ was the second Jesus, do you? Surely you know the only man that, since Jefferson, that put our country in the black, Andrew Jackson, was known to take a whirl now and then, don't you? He was a womanizer of some repute. The press destroyed Patton, not the accident. Press made Eisenhower. A big smile and golf balls for brains. But he had his driver who wrote an expose. Was with him all over Europe. It's good enough to fight with, not good enough to preside with. And as her gut-grinding tale is told, to be president, he had to clean up his marital act. What a wonderful way to get rid of a girl you don't need anymore. I mean, what are we going to do? Rewrite American history? Why don't we just elect ABC, NBC, and CBS news team to the U.S. Senate and let them pick one of their own to be president? Just solve all the problems of the world. Sure would. Then they'd have to expose themselves. About a week, they'd all be dead. and the world would be considerably better off. You say you're being ludicrous. No, I'm not. I'm trying as a philosopher to let us see where this stupidity is going. Investigative reporting got heady with blood after Watergate. I'm with Berger. I have absolutely no respect for those newsmen that sought to denigrate the position of the Supreme Court with the book, The Brethren. There are some things in this country that need to be handled with a little more grace than the mallet of investigative reporters. And I may be the only voice in America willing to say it, but I'm going to keep screaming that we better not let ourselves be enslaved by the two-hour newscast every night by people that have set themselves up as gods who have no machinery for us to check on them. Jesus' words still apply. He that's without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And until the news media is ready to subject itself to the test they're putting on every kind of leadership in this country, the best thing that could happen to America is turn them off. All this crap about the public needs to know, I could live for the next year and not hear a newscast and be better off. So why do I need all this crap on me every night? Now, I've said my piece. I'm going to start teaching church history in a few moments. Get on the telephone, talk to me, and let me know I got a class there. But we better get our heads together and quit being brainwashed by these self-made gods every night. Music. We'll be right back.